Well, hello everyone, and welcome back. Today is Friday, May the 9th, 2014. My name is Angela Walton-Raji, and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, how are you, everyone? I hope you've had a very good week. And a special shout out to all of the folks who are in Richmond, Virginia this week. I know tons of folks are there for the NGS conference. That's right, the National Genealogical Society conference is underway, and it has been underway since, what, I guess Wednesday of this week. And it looks as if, from what I can tell from the many posts that I'm seeing on Facebook and Twitter, it looks as if a good time is being had by all. Now, I know some are there, some are at home watching some of the live streaming, but the live streaming, from what I understand, is, it's already closed for those who had to pre-register for that. But I've heard that some of it has been interesting, and I hope if you've had a chance to participate that you've enjoyed it. And by the way, tomorrow is going to be a really big day. Quite a few speakers, African American speakers, are on the program for tomorrow. So it looks as if it's going to be a pretty big day. And weather permitting, I hope I'll be joining many of you down there. Of course, I'll be driving down for the day. And if there's also some time, about 12:30 or so, there is going to be a meetup in the convention center. Well, I understand the targeted spot is Starbucks. So just a chance for people in the Afrogenius family to say hello, shake hands, get a couple of hugs, and take some pictures, of course, and to have a chance to put some faces to the names that frequently we see online. And we know how that goes. You see people online for years and then finally have a chance to meet them, perhaps at a conference such as this. So, hopefully we'll have a chance to run into each other and fellowship just a little bit. Well, I must say, I've had an incredible week. You know how some of your genealogy projects can lead you down unexpected paths? Sometimes you find yourself maybe getting involved in a writing project that you had not anticipated, which can be wonderful and can lead you to wonderful experiences and wonderful people. And sometimes you find yourself in a situation maybe involving a community of interest that has captured your attention. Maybe your family's from a particular community that has captured your attention, and you have found yourself just deeply immersed in a particular project. Well, I must say, I've had such a week. Monday, I had a very unique opportunity to attend a federal hearing in federal court, and this was a hearing pertaining to the rights of Cherokee freedmen descendants. These are descendants of individuals who were placed on the freedmen roll during the time of the Dawes enrollment in Indian Territory prior to Oklahoma statehood. The Cherokee freedmen are the descendants of those who were once enslaved by citizens of the Cherokee Nation. And there are freedmen from five tribes, not only Cherokee Nation. I am a descendant of Choctaw freedmen. And there are also Chickasaw freedmen, Creek freedmen, and Seminole freedmen as well. But this particular case is a case that's actually, I won't even say it's been going on for 10 years. This has been something that has been taking place, well, for the last 25, maybe even 30 years, if you want to count them, in terms of recent issues pertaining to the rights of people who were once citizens of the Cherokee Nation, but who were expelled. The argument being one of not having blood or not being able to determine what the blood is, and oops, it just happens to pertain only to those who were descendants of their slaves. Oops, oh well. Well, several people said, you know what, this is the heritage of my family as well, and we're not going to just be sort of swept away or oopsed out. And so this case has been going on for some time. In the 1980s, around 1983, an elderly gentleman, Reverend Nero, went to vote in an election. He had voted in 1979, had voted throughout his life, and was told, "Oh, you can't vote. You're not a citizen anymore." And it was that kind of affront that this gentleman faced in his elder years. He did file suit, but this was when Wilma Mankiller was principal chief of the Cherokee Nation. And the argument was, "Oh, well, you don't have our blood. Goodbye." There were other cases since that time. The Whitmire case occurred. There were other cases as well. In recent years, in the 1990s and in the turn of the 21st century, Marilyn Vann and others have also filed suit in terms of really restoring their rights to citizenship in a tribe in which their ancestors, and not only their ancestors, their parents, their family have always been a member. And particularly because this being cast aside was based on color. We know that. And so anyway, Monday, to shorten a very, very long story, there was a hearing in federal court. And the hearing, this resulted from a case where the Cherokee Nation sued freedmen descendants who were only petitioning for their own rights to be certainly upheld, which are certainly guaranteed by the Treaty of 1866. Anyway, what became interesting is that the nation sued individual freedmen descendants, and this is the hearing. And no decision has been made, and hopefully it will come soon. But it was an honor to be there. I had an experience in 1998. I was an expert witness in the case of Mrs. Bernice Riggs, who was an elderly woman who had sued Cherokee Nation in Cherokee court. And it took years to make her decision, and it was decided against her. Then it was later reversed, and freedmen were allowed to enroll. Anyway, the current sitting chief said, "Oh, no, 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 we can't have this." So he started a campaign to have them expelled, and it's just gone on it's been just a dramatic saga the last 10 years, just going back and forth and back and forth. Anyway, if the judge rules in the favor of the freedmen descendants, then the rolls will be open again and they can continue to enroll once again. Of course, this does have implications for other tribes as well, and it should be very interesting. But my point is not who's a Cherokee, who's not a Cherokee, or who's Indian or not Indian. That's not the issue. The issue is really how one can get involved in a genealogical process. I wrote my book, Black Indian Genealogy Research, in 1993. Prior to that, not one book on genealogy, and there had been several books and articles on researching Native American ancestry, but not one ever even acknowledged that there were records, 14,000 records to be exact, pertaining to freedmen of the five civilized tribes. And when I had found my own family records among Choctaw freedmen, and I began to look at other people's files and recognized the surnames of people whom I had grown up with and whom I knew, I realized it's time to write something to assist people in finding that information. Now, a good portion of that data can be found digitized now. That was not the case in 1991. So what a difference a decade, or what a difference a turn of a century can make. And thank goodness it is there and it is digitized. And now the word freedman is not a dirty word of, yes, slaves from Indian territory. It's not something that's whispered. We have nothing to be ashamed about in our history. And we have a lot to find in our history. And as a genealogist, and as a researcher, I've committed myself over the years to continually tell the story of freedmen from Indian Territory, and have done that. And one of the things that I guess As I sat there watching the hearing, watching the Cherokee attorney, watching the attorney on behalf of the freedmen, and realized, wow, this came strictly out of genealogy project, researching my own family from among Choctaw freedmen, and then expanding my work to include all of the tribes that once held certainly Africans enslaved, and realized what an amazing and untold story. But I realized genealogy, if one is serious and if one pursues it, you learn something. And the biggest lesson you learn is that it's not always about just your family. And I realized I was witnessing something historic, because certainly what is happening with Cherokee freedmen does have implications for the other nations as well. There were individuals from the other tribes. It was a Seminole attorney, and there were other representatives from the BIA also in the courtroom. And I realized, my goodness, I was witnessing something. A small battle, perhaps, in Indian country, but still a significant one. And still the chapter is unfolding in the unwritten chapter of African American history, particularly as it comes out of, off of the Western frontier. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. Here I was having that experience Monday, basically stemming from the fact that I have been a genealogist in some of the cases that have come up, and it was something to be there to watch this chapter of it. Many of the chapters and events that I've researched, I've only read about them taking place, but this time I was in the courtroom, and it was an honor to be there. It was really something. In addition, I had a second experience this week that actually occurred yesterday. I spent almost the entire day yesterday at the National Institutes of Health. I decided to participate in the CleanSeq study. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, where one can have the full genome sequencing done. And it was an interesting experience, good information that I got about my health. And I'm in fairly good health. I'm glad to find that out. But I'm going to find out a lot more as data becomes available, and I am quite excited about that as well. So again, and of course that stemmed from DNA testing and understanding what DNA can reflect, not just about ancestry, of course, but even about one's health and whether one is predisposed for certain genetic conditions and or certain conditions that one may develop in life. So, and wow, again, that experience stemmed out of my interest in genealogy and DNA. So, interesting week it has been for me. Well, moving on to other things, I mentioned the NGS conference going on. As I said, a lot of things are going on. Good luck tomorrow. Bernice Bennett is giving a presentation on what she has gleaned from those amazing widow's pension applications, particularly from the United States Colored Troops. And I think that's going to be quite good. And a person whom I definitely admire, Leslie Anderson, is going to be talking about Virginia and the quote-unquote free Negro dilemma in Virginia. And these records are sometimes underutilized. And I think that's going to be quite an amazing session. I think it's going to be quite a good session as well. So, you know, hey, that's just, you know, the first two events of the day. I understand Michael Haight is presenting something on slave claims, and there are some other presentations that are also going on throughout the day. Kara Griggs is presenting, and on the Library of Virginia, an amazing place, and Wivenita Minas is presenting something on Freedmen's Bureau labor contracts. So it's going to be a busy day, and if you are around, join us tomorrow for the Afrogenius Meetup. Hope to see some of you there. Again, weather permitting, only if it's good. If the weather's really bad, I won't be driving down to Richmond, but I certainly hope it is. We've had beautiful spring weather suddenly and finally, I might say. Anyway, other things are also taking place and some neat findings. I hope you had a chance to visit some of those websites that I mentioned They are truly amazing. Some of those sites, particularly out of Georgia, Elbert County, Georgia. Oh my goodness. And I hope those of you with North Carolina ties have been enjoying those amazing family search records that I'm referring to, of course, the North Carolina Freedmen's Bureau records that have been digitized. Oh, I hope you have been enjoying those as well. Last Saturday, I did have a chance to attend the Latter-day Saints conference, the genealogy conference in Kensington, Maryland, and I sat in on a really neat technology class, and I decided to just to see if I could learn something new. Some things were quite familiar, but I actually got inspired, yes, to open up yet another account, but I'm kind of glad I did. And this was something that I know it's been around for a couple of years. I had not joined it only because it was just something else yet to do. But I created a Pinterest account. Pinterest, oh my gosh, what a neat way to, I guess, I'll say it's better than a bookmark, because when you're looking at a bookmark, for me at least, when I hotlist a page and then I check out my bookmarks, it's a list. It's a text list of things. But with Pinterest, I can create my own board, or it's like a bulletin board, but it's a bulletin board by topic. And I found that kind of exciting to be able to do that. And I guess what I mean is that I guess I didn't realize how I enjoy looking at certain things from a just graphics perspective. And I've created three boards so far, one on my blogs, one on African-American blogs in general, one on certain websites as well. And that's been just kind of a fun thing. I've been playing with it. And I'm finding so many amazing things that are out there. And I'm finding that I'm learning, and it's like, whoa, I almost have to slow down a bit. And maybe I'll probably explore it a little bit more in depth in the coming, certainly, days, weeks, because I realized it's a neat way to put things in order that are of interest to me. And it's private. It's what you want it to be. And I realized it just has helped me sort things in certain categories. And, you know, hey, I'm not saying go create one, but, you know, hey, just take a look or play around with it. I was surprised once I saw the presenter and how she had some of her boards. It clicked. I finally understood how people use it. And I said, you know what? Okay, I think I might see the benefit for myself. It's also helped me to be able to go back to something that I have seen that I've forgotten. I'm sure you've had this experience. You see something really neat. You mean to maybe bookmark it. You do or you don't. You come back later and you can't remember where it was, what site it was on. Pinterest is a great way to pin it to your board. You can go back and click on it anytime. I have really, really, really come to appreciate that little platform, and still a lot more working with it and growing with it, but I just wanted to let you know that I've created another account. It's true, but it's taught me a lot in the last 48 hours, 72 hours or so, and I'm looking forward to working with it some more. Well, I had mentioned a little bit earlier and gave the shout out to everybody who's enjoying themselves at NGS. You know, one of the things that I've had, I guess lately, I've had some conversations with individuals who are presenting at various events throughout the year, and the conversation about additional opportunities to present regarding whatever your specialty is, whatever your niche area is. And the conversation has really sort of migrated to one of opportunities for professionals and what is out there. We all do our research, and we then tend to gravitate towards maybe a subject area or a time period, an era that is of interest to us. And then we start to go after those kinds of records that capture our attention and become more knowledgeable about them. Well, there is an area, as I had posted, I think, oh, some time ago, some of the calls for papers that are out. By the way, this is May, and of course, June is just a few weeks away. Pay attention to the calls for papers for Roots Tech and for FGS. One is accepting submissions during this month of May, and the other is accepting submissions during the month of June. But both of them are going to have events that will occur in February in Salt Lake City. But that's not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to are those subject areas in which we do develop some sort of expertise in, and the need to really find also not just the opportunities to present, but to find the right audience. And you know what I think? I think that we have overlooked, I guess, the individuals who are our busiest allies. And there is the perfect opportunity to spend some time to learn from them, but also to share what we know with them. And these who are our perfect allies, librarians. Have we ever really thought about how useful they are? Well, I'm saying all this only because someone shared with me, and I gave it some thought, about the ALA, the American Library Association. And I gave it some thought, and I said, look, you know, librarians are our allies. And they are having, of course, their national conferences coming up in late June into early July. I think it's going to be in Nevada and in Las Vegas, in fact. But I noticed when I was on the page looking around, getting information about their event, that they do welcome, of course, proposals. They do welcome an opportunity to present, and they have, of course, poster presentations as well as full lectures. But I also want to point out there's another subgroup within ALA, and that is the Black Caucus of the ALA, Black Caucus of the American Library Association. And I had a chance to speak there a few years ago when the ALA had their event, and their event is not always an annual one. However, that is sort of a group of individuals who are professionals who should be our allies, and we should be taking our interests, our specialty areas to them when they also have their events. But don't forget the parent organization, the American Library Association. Take a look. I'm going to put a link to on their website for their conference, but I'm also going to get some information up there for you in terms of how to submit an opportunity to give a presentation. And also, if you happen to be out west and happen to be in Las Vegas area in late June, you may really want to learn a little bit more about what's available and how can you participate and really gain some information. We need to be establishing, in my opinion, a bridge to librarians. They are our principal, certainly our principal allies. Well, librarians and archivists, but you know, I sort of put them together. Maybe that's unfair, but I do, because these are the people who are working in those facilities that we go to and that we need to really utilize even more. Sometimes I think we underutilize many of those wonderful libraries that are out there. But anyway, just some food for thought. Also, by the way, I hope you had a chance to listen last night to a rebroadcast of Bernie Spinnett's show, Fathers of Conscience. This is a wonderful show. This really spoke about those. And of course, we know that there are many situations where there were people who were individuals of mixed ancestry who had European fathers, had white fathers, and the mothers were women of African ancestry. Well, what is not always understood is that many of these children of interracial relationships, they were children whose fathers recognized them. And last night's show was so very, very, very poignant. It was excellent. It was a conversation with Dr. Bernie Jones, who's a professor at Suffolk University in Boston. And she really talked about these fathers of mixed race children and their efforts to embrace their children, include their children in their wills upon their death, and to see that their families were treated right. And of course, the resistance that came from the local population in terms of seeing that these children of color did not receive what was coming their way as descendants. Not every case was like that, but in many cases that was the situation. Again, organized resistance starts treating people of African ancestry fairly. But it's fascinating because the focus was really the relationship that these fathers had with, well, I'll say their spouse, put quotations around it, because in many cases they could not marry by law the woman with whom they had a relationship. But they still had an ongoing relationship. And in addition to that, there was also the fact that these fathers wanted their children to inherit. And in many cases, there was that immediate resistance from either a white family or sometimes supported by the community as well, that they not inherit property and other benefits that their fathers had left them. Anyway, Fathers of Conscience. Also, there's a book that accompanies it. You can find it on Amazon. The author is Dr. Bernie D. Jones, who's a professor, as I said, at Suffolk University. But I think you'll find that conversation to be so stimulating. Goodness, that, wow, was, I think, even when it aired before, it was one of the best shows. Hearing it again reminded me of how good it was. It was good to hear it again. And it'll just really, I think, be very, very enlightening for so many. Oh my gosh, I can't believe the time already. Again, it's already passed. So many things are going on, though. Hey, as I said, NGS, hope to see some of you tomorrow in Richmond, 3 weeks from now. Wow. Everything's going to be going on at the Southern California Genealogy Jamboree. And hope some of you, especially if you have that opportunity to be there, there's going to be a panel discussion on the future of African American genealogy. I hope some of you will join us. Nika Smith, Bernie Spinnett, myself, and there are other workshops that are going to go on those days. Please, please, please enjoy, you know, the conference. I hope you'll have a chance to attend and really join in some of the dialogue. Well, time is just going on, and I better wind it down. But hey, you know, I appreciate you being there and taking out time to listen. I hope you all have a chance to get out there, start hitting those events. Some of them are free. Some of them are not expensive. Some of them cost a little bit more, but all of them are worthwhile. And, you know, in the meantime, I'm just pleased that you've taken time out of your day to tune in and listen to me go on for a few minutes. But I do appreciate you. In the meantime, wow, the weather has finally changed. Thank goodness. So get out there and enjoy it. Enjoy some summer and make some memories as well. In the meantime, wow, have a great week. I hope to see some of you, as I said, tomorrow. And hey, continue to do what you do. You know what that is. Keep researching, keep documenting, and yes, always keep sharing what you find. Have a great week, everyone, and I'll talk to you next time. Be well and be safe. Bye-bye.